Elisha prayed, and he said, "Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The story here is there was a siege about the city. The old prophet wasn't worried at all. The young prophet was sweating nickels. And the old prophet looked at the young man and he realized that even though he had faith and he, you know, was doing it by the book, he needed to have his spiritual eyes opened. And in that prayer, suddenly he saw that there were angels round about. What, me worry? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so without our eyes being opened and without us having that ability from God to see what really goes on around us, some of the things that even I'm going to say here today are foolishness. They're foolishness. It says, "By faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." He's like, "I'm out of here. I'm leaving Egypt. I know that I was adopted into this family. I know my particular role. I know what in the natural I'm supposed to do, what I'm supposed to be. And I'm probably going to get killed if I go back because my dad's Pharaoh and he doesn't tolerate this kind of stuff. But I see something different. I perceive things different. I see him who is invisible." Says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, but not by everybody." You hand somebody a telescope, they don't see God. You hand somebody a microscope, and they don't see God. And here's an interesting thing for you to chew on just a little bit. Do you realize most of the things in the universe have to be perceived with a telescope or a microscope? And that narrow spectrum that you can see with your natural eye is really so small. But it says these invisible things from the creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And finally in Hebrews it says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." And this is the verse that I would like to try to minister today. And I want to show you just how spiritual we are. Here's a little bit of an email that I got. And I'm not sure. Yeah, you can see it. Okay, at the bottom, Brother Nicholas Johnstone, on Friday, May 2nd, he says, "Are you available to speak on Sunday?" I responded yesterday when I opened my email, and I said, "Yes, I have a message." His reply was awesome. So don't think that we're really spiritual here. Don't think that there's a whole lot that goes into this. I'm sorry, Brother Nick, wherever you are, I've given you away. But even behind the scenes on this, God is aware. I didn't have a slide deck. I had not prepared for a message, but my response was very honest. I said, "I have a message." And I sat down and spent just a couple hours, and then it was time to take my sons to church here yesterday so that they could be in the van to go down to Olympia. And as I was driving, I received a text message. And it was from one of my employees that doesn't typically text message me. But the message says, "Always remember to help people by welcoming them into your home. Some people have done that and have helped angels without knowing it." Hebrews chapter 13. And I thought, whoa. I was just on my computer putting together a Bible study on this verse. I get in my car, and as I'm driving down the road, I get the verse texted to me. And then the person said, this is what I feel about the Berglunds. I responded back, weird. I'm teaching at our church tomorrow. And that is one of my texts. To which they replied, well, somebody told me to read that chapter. And so you understand that there are spiritual things that go on behind the scene, even though it seems like we're dealing with emails and text messages. And on the surface, it's one thing. But behind the scenes, God is doing something. And when I got that message, can you speak on Sunday? I was burning on the inside with a message. Because I had gone through three different things up to this message that had me burning so much. Horrible things. Horrible things. I'm not going to go into the details, but I was angry, and I was angry at the devil. I sat in a restaurant with my family at a place we never, ever really go. We had been at the zoo with my grandchildren, which I haven't been to for a long time. And it's like, well, picked up my daughter from work. And it's like, well, where do we want to go? And it's like, let's go here. And so we went to this restaurant. And as we sat down and we're eating, there is somebody we haven't seen in 8 years. And the last time I had seen this woman in any, run into her here or there, I was talking to her and her husband, trying to save their marriage. I sat down in a restaurant with her husband and tried to reason with him, tried to reason with her. She's addicted to heroin and living on the streets now. And she was there with her daughter, who I remember as a young Sunday school girl. I'm talking United Pentecostal family. Her 28-year-old daughter is addicted to heroin and living on the streets. And I thought, oh God, what happens? What happens? And that was the second thing that I had gone through. I'm not going to go into details on the first thing. But I got home and just feeling horrible. And my son texted me and he says, one of our neighbors, very close family of ours, close friends, their 19-year-old son commits suicide. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. And I felt like bang, bang, bang. And I was so mad. I was so like, this is, but you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And it's like, I had a message, brother. Abraham entertains angels. Two angels appeared with the Lord on the way to destroy Sodom. Abraham was sitting outside of his tent. His wife was in the tent, and he saw some men approaching. And he hurried to get them something to eat. He asked his wife, please go get the best thing you've got. Let's get some milk. And then it says he stood there by the tree, and he watched them eat. And he knew that it was the Lord, accompanied by two angels. And these two angels were en route to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he began to beg, and he began to plead, and he began to reason with God, because he understood that he had family down there. And it's like, I can't let them be destroyed. And I'm trying to talk about spiritual levels, things that go on around us that we are sometimes not aware of, and struggles that people go through that we sometimes don't understand. And even when we have opportunities to give a witness or to give a testimony, we don't realize maybe this is a person's last opportunity. This is it. And here's something I want you to think about. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Now, with that in your thinking, let's go back. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And when we think about angels, we think about good angels. But there is a fallen angel that yet goes about visiting. He still does what angels do. We are involved with demonic forces in a spiritual warfare. We are so much involved. Satan is currently fighting a war of containment. And I'm just giving some things that are really in my heart. A war of containment is where you're not trying to win the war. We fought a war of containment with Russia. It was called the Cold War. And this war that we fought with Russia was not a battle to take over Russia. We just wanted to contain Russia, to stop Russia. And this is what Satan's doing with the church. In this type of war, Satan does not always attempt to win. He just wants to keep you from winning. We need to understand this. The devil's not necessarily trying to destroy you and I. He's just trying to render us ineffective while he destroys everything around us. And he's just wanting to box us in so that we can't do what we're supposed to be doing. And while we're so busy with all of our busy work, people are dying all around us that we know, that we can reach, that we can touch. It's really happening, brothers and sisters. And it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know how he works. We understand how angels go about their business. And I'd like to look at some of this. There's a story about how King David entertained an angel. Now, you probably never heard this story this way before, but the Bible gives us some insight into something that happened in King David's life when he was visited by an angel. After it happened, the prophet came to David and began to tell him a little story. Now, David was fully blind to what had happened to him, totally unaware that he had had an angelic visit. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, the rich man and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and his children, and did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, lay in his bosom. It was on him as a daughter. Get the picture here. Two men in the city. Rich man's got these farms. He's got these herds. He's got everything and anything he could possibly want. And then there's this poor man, and he's got one little animal, and he loves it. It's like family to him. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. Rich man, I've come to visit. And the rich man spared to take of his own flock, of his own herd. He's got all these animals to dress for the wayfaring man that was come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and he dressed it for the man, or he killed it. He killed the poor man's only loved animal, his pet. He's got a barn full of animals. He doesn't have names for his animals. He doesn't think about his animals. But he kills the man's pet. And he feeds it to the stranger that came to his house. What's going on here? Let's look at that story again. The Lord sent Nathan unto David and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the rich and the other poor. When David heard this story, he was angry. And he said, who's the man that did this? The prophet said, David, you're the man. When, Lord? When did I kill somebody else's sheep? When did I do that? When did I have a visitor in my house? What are we talking about? And he says, Uriah is the poor man. Ooh. See, David just had Uriah killed. And suddenly it all starts coming back to him now. Oh, this is not about another rich man. And this is not about another poor man. This is not a parable. And he looks at Nathan the prophet and he's got fear in his eyes. And he realizes, this is about Bathsheba, isn't it? This is about that girl. Yes, it is. David, this is about that girl. For you see, that little ewe lamb that you slew and fed to the traveler? Yeah. That's Bathsheba. You took that man's wife. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. A wayfaring man. Now, I know the story real well. How that David was home from the battle. And he was up on the roof of his house. And he looked out. And he saw this woman bathing. And he said, bring her to me. And she conceived and had a child. And to cover it up, he had her husband brought back from the war so that he would think that it was his child. But Uriah would not go home to his wife because he says, all my friends are out there fighting the battle. I can't go out back home. And he slept in the hall. And David realized he had a problem on his hands. And so he called his general and he says, we got to get this guy killed. And Uriah was murdered to cover up David's sin. And so I understand the rich man is David. And I know that the poor man is Uriah. And I can even see that the lamb is Bathsheba. But who is the traveler that came to David's house? Who was the visitor, the wayfaring man that was fed by all of this? I'll tell you who it was. It was Satan. An angel came to his house. It was Satan. And when the devil came to his house, he came with temptation. Many have entertained angels unaware. And you think all angels are good, and you think all angels are cute, and you think all angels are lovable. But you don't realize how powerful and how strong angels are. They can destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They can destroy 18,000 an army. And if they have fallen into sin, and they're in rebellion, and then they're wicked, and they come to our house, what chance do we have? What chance do we have? David fell. He didn't even realize he had a guest. At the start of the book of Job, God asked Satan, from whence comest thou, O Satan? And Satan replies, doing what angels do. I'm just going to and fro in the earth. I'm walking up and down in it. For you see, I'm the traveler. It says a traveler came to David's house, a wayfaring man. He just goes to and fro, walking up and down the streets, walking up and down the avenues, knocking on doors. Anybody home? Anybody here? Anybody here? And he brings with him temptation, and he brings with him opportunity for sin. But he disguises himself. We don't even know it's him. We don't even know he's there. And does he have a plan for you and I? And does he have a plan for our friends and our neighbors, Brother Garcia? Yes, the battle is on. And what is happening to the church while this is going on? Well, we're being contained. We're busy. but the wayfaring man. After that meeting in heaven, Satan came back down to this earth, and things started to go bad for Job. Job was just, he was on a roll. He was rich. He was famous. He was popular. He had good-looking kids. He had a wife that loved him. He had just remodeled his house. He was popular in the community, and he was looked at as a leader, possibly going to be mayor someday. He sits in the city gate, and everything is like, whoa, am I feeling good about me? And one by one, things started to fall apart for Job. It's like, Job, what's going wrong? He's like, I don't know. Man, yesterday it was great, and now these clouds have come into my life, and everything is a problem. Worst case of bad luck I've ever seen. And then things start to go downhill. His friends come along, and they start getting on him. You know, they used to always give him the high fives and, hey, Job, how you doing? Hey, pal, hey, let's go out for coffee. Anybody at Starbucks? I mean, let's go fishing. Hey, I've got some plans. We're going to go on a little vacation. Want to go with us? You know, love to bring your wife and kids. Suddenly nobody's calling him anymore except to get on his case. Whoa, what happened to my friends? Why are they being so mean? And he goes to his wife for comfort. I'm sorry, honey, I got to do this, you know. You know, and she's like, just like, everything wrong with Job. She's noticing it. You gonna wear those socks for 3 days? You're not gonna hang your stuff up? You're not gonna leave the tools on the porch? Dishes, coffee cups all over the house, books everywhere? Were you born in a barn, Job? His wife starts getting on him. His family's getting on him. It goes on and on and on. It's like, what's happening here? Well, the fact is, they had all entertained the traveler. Let's take a look at this verse here. One of his friends, Eliphaz, he begins to get philosophical with him about problems in life. And look at what Eliphaz says. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, now a thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof, and thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before my eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall a mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Now, this is in your Bible. A spirit came to Job's friends, travelers, visitors, and they planted a seed into their hearing. He said, I was terrified. The skin stood up. The hair is on my back. This isn't God. This is the devil. He's a traveler. And he's the same one who went to David and said, pretty girl. And now he comes to this one and he says, can a man really be righteous before God? Will God really bless a man's life? Seriously now. I got a message for you. Now carry it to Job. He had a visit from the traveler. Interesting verse found in Job 31, 32. As he begins to complain, he says, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. And he says, my house has always been open. Always been open. To anybody and anything. What do we open our house to? What do we open our ears to? What do we open our eyes to? All of these are subtle messages from the traveler. to each of us. Maybe it's just a little twist. It's a little distortion of truth. Maybe it's just a little bit of lust. Maybe it's just a little bit of desire. Seed, we heard about it, very small, grows very big. He says, I let the traveler into my house. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He walks about. He's a traveler. And he's just seeking whom he may devour. And you know, Peter wrote that, and he would know. Because he had an encounter one day with the traveler himself. Remarkable occasion. Jesus asked his disciples, but whom do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Messiah. 10 points up on the wall for Peter. Peter got it right. Peter's feeling good, you know. He's like, hey, Peter, he knows who Jesus is. You know, all the other disciples are like, Peter, how did you get that? He's like, well, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to me. I've got my eyes open. I'm spiritual. I see things that other people don't see. Peter, you're blind. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. The only reason he saw is because God opened his eyes. But when Satan comes around, Satan doesn't open your eyes. He closes your eyes. You don't want to see what I'm going to do. You don't want to perceive what I'm doing. You can see what God's doing, but we don't want you to see what the devil's doing. And so it says, from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, undergo great suffering, Brother Garcia, at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. He's going to be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter took Jesus aside and said, Jesus, come here. I'm the guy with the open eyes, remember? I'm the one who said you were the Messiah. I'm the one that you said flesh and blood didn't reveal this. Well, I have another revelation. You're not going to do that. Look at this. It says, he began to rebuke Jesus. Whoa. Spiritual pride. Something's going on here. Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan. Who's there? Oh, it's the traveler. He put some seed in your mind. He gave you some thoughts, and it's all wrong. I have to ask the question, is there no safe place of refuge from this traveler? Look at it. Peter was with Jesus. Job's wife and friends turned on him. David was in his own house. This traveler just seems to be going anywhere. Red light, green light, yellow light, he's going. Doesn't seem to matter. No safe place of refuge? Well, there's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 3. It says, when Joab and his men arrived, he was told that Abner had come to King David and had been sent away with a guarantee of safety. Joab went to the king and said unto him, what have you done? Abner came to you? Why did you let him go like that? You familiar with this story? I don't want to keep you here all day, but I'm going to have to give you a little background. Abner and Joab were competing generals in David's army. After David consolidated the kingdom, he found himself with an awkward situation of two coaches. One was Abner and one was Joab. And these guys did not get along. And it just so happened that Abner, one day in self-defense, killed Joab's younger brother. And Joab, as they say, had a bone to pick. And he was going to kill Abner. And so just know that. If Joab hears Abner's in town, Joab's got his sword at his side. It's like, I've got to avenge the death of my brother. Abner will die. And Joab comes to the king and he says, David, I heard a story that can't be true. Abner was here, right here. You talked to Abner? Yes, I talked to Abner. And you let him go? Yeah, I let him go. Why did you let him go? He came here to deceive you, to find out everything you do, wherever you go. Surely you know that. He doesn't want to say it, but it's like, David, are you stupid? I know you're the king, but you've got to be kidding me. You let Abner go. He's gone. He walked right out the door. The guy that killed my brother. David, why would you do that? It's like, well, I'm supposed to. What do you mean you're supposed to? David would not harm Abner because Abner had fled to a city of refuge. Abner had asylum. In the Old Testament, there was this concept that if a man had slain another man accidentally, he could flee to a certain city of refuge. And while there, the avenger of blood could not touch him. And so David said, he's got immunity. Joab's like, immunity, my eye. When Abner arrived in Hebron, Joab took him aside at the gate. So Abner is there in Hebron. Joab's standing outside and is like, oh, Abner, Abner, yo, can we talk just a little bit? I hear that you were visiting the king, and I got to square some stuff here. Abner home, hello, Abner. Abner steps outside the gate, and he goes, oh, Joab, yeah, what's up? It was as though he wanted to speak privately with him. And there he stabbed him in the stomach. That's pretty blunt. Take that! City of refuge, huh? He killed him right at the gate. David sang this lament for Abner. Why did Abner have to die like a fool? He's like, are you serious? Right there at the gate? Right at the line? Protection. No protection. Protection. No protection. No, you're kidding. He crossed the line? He got him to walk over the line? Are you serious? He died like a fool. Nobody's that stupid. Brothers and sisters, we're all that stupid. We cross that line so many times. Sitting in the restaurant talking to that lady. How did she cross the line? How do you go from being a Sunday school teacher in a United Pentecostal church to being a homeless heroin addict on the streets of Tacoma? How does that happen? How do you go from being a young child raised in our churches, and I'm sorry, but to be a prostitute on the streets of Tacoma, selling yourself for drugs? How does that happen? They're fools. I hate to say it. How else can I say it? Somebody thought the line didn't matter. Somebody thought the devil plays nice. He doesn't play nice. Not at all. What makes a 19-year-old college kid take his life on a beautiful sunny day? I have no idea. But I remember talking to his dad, and his dad telling me, if you ever get a chance, bring Jesus to my boys. I never did. I never did. You see, I'm busy. I'm busy. The devil's fighting a war of containment. And this week I went through three things like that. And Brother Nick, and then you asked me in an email if I want to teach. Yeah, I want to teach. I want to teach about visiting angels. But you know, that friend that texted me and said, hey, I just got this verse from God. It's for you. Yeah, that's the verse I'm going to use, but not like you think I'm going to use it. Because you see, Satan's a visiting angel also. He's a traveler. And he comes to people's hearts and he comes to their lives. Your hands weren't tied. Your feet were not bound. But you died like a fool. Abner was met at the city gate by the traveler. And I'm going to close with this. Four things the traveler tries to do. Number one, get you to sin and hide it. It's like David. Get you to sin and hide it. Got into an argument with somebody this week. Threw it in my face. Your sins? What about your sins? Valid argument. Good point. I guess, you know, the thing that I was upset about was probably no worse. As a matter of fact, it's even better than my sins. My sins are black. But I'd like to think they're white. Because when you confess, doesn't the Bible say something about that? Has anybody here never sinned? Am I the only one that messed up? Okay. What's the difference between me and somebody that I get on and say, you gotta stop doing that? And they're like, well, what's the difference? You sinned, I'm sinning. There's a big difference when you confess and forsake your sin. Don't try to justify your sin. Don't try to hide your sin. David killed a man so that people wouldn't know that he had gone to bed with his wife. Well, I guess that makes it better. Oh, no, it doesn't, because God knew. The prophet found out. And even if they hadn't told, the traveler would have gotten the word out. The traveler talks. He really does. And so, don't hide your sin. Job's going to try to get you to curse or blame God for things in your life. That's what the traveler wants to do. It's the lesson of the book of Job. Sure, things happen. But don't blame God. Could God stop it? Of course God can stop it. Could God fix it? Well, of course God can fix it. But what if God, in his wisdom, doesn't want to? Well, then I'm not bad at God, I guess. Boy, that's what the traveler wants. Will a man be more righteous than his maker? Let's see where we can put the blame on this one. Third thing the traveler would like to get you to do, reject the plan of God. God had a plan for Jesus. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for this church. We have to find that plan. We have to live in that plan. That's what the traveler would like you to do, is get out of that will. And finally, and I'm going to close with this, get you to leave that secure place. Where is that secure place? I'm going to say part of it's the church. The church is a secure place. It's a wonderful place. I love raising my family in the church. But this is not the only secure place. Jesus Christ is the only secure place. And if somehow you're in the church, but outside of Jesus Christ, you're on that line, and you don't realize what the traveler's going to do to you. You say, is he going to put a knife in my belly? I don't know. I don't know what your future holds. You just don't know. It may not be you. It may be your children. It may be your grandchildren. Get an umbrella of protection over your home protect yourself, your eyes, your family from this traveler, because angels come to visit us unaware. Pastor?
I'd like to open this altar. Would you stand?